September 20th, 2018 at 4:22 p.m. Would you like to do a roll call, please?
Tracy Bartels,
here.
Legislator Giarantine. Legislator Mayo. Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Chairman Litz.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, first order of business is the approval of the minutes of August 14th. Everybody's had an opportunity to read them, go through them. Are there any errors, omissions, or changes requested?
At this time, I'll move the minutes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So carried. We have our auditors here and to discuss the audit results. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay, thank you. I know most of you met Carl, but I'll give him a formal introduction. Carl Widmer is a senior manager in our organization. We're rotating him on to the audit next year, so we thought it was a good idea to bring him along for this exit conference. What we're going to discuss today are the financial statements and the financial results. The drafts actually have been reviewed already by our manager, Erica, and we have now forwarded them on to me. I'm doing my review this weekend. They should pass through quality control review by Tuesday of next week, and we should be in position to file on Friday, which would be September 28th. I'm going to take you through a series here. And we're going to leave this presentation with Amber in case anybody wants a copy of it. She'll have it on a flash. We'll leave the flash drive with her. But, first thing we want to do is talk about the products of our audit, what you're going to expect in your packages, probably delivered the week after next, is the opinion on the financial statements, an opinion on the single audit, an auditor communications letter, which I'm going to talk about some of the topics that are being included in there, a management letter. We give an opinion then on New York State Department of Transportation aid, and we also do some agreed upon procedures for a couple of the entities in the county. Auditor communications. We had our formal meeting with the audit chair and Amber was a representative at that meeting as well back on August 14th. So I'll just address some of the issues that we talked about. First of all, what we do and what we don't do. You get this financial package and it's well into the triple figures when you start talking about pages. And what does that whole thing mean? It's utilized by your banks, by the federal government because they're giving you aid, by the state government because they're giving you aid. It's utilized by your investors when you go out there for bonding. And what they're looking from us is verification that the numbers provided by management fairly present the financial position of the county as of December 31st, as well as the operations for the last 12 months. So in order to get there, the very first thing we have to do is we have to go and gain an understanding of the controls around here. We do that through inquiry, write up narratives, and then once the people tell us what's happening, we go and we perform walkthroughs. So now we have this whole series of controls that exist within the county, and then we devise tests to say, okay, they have this in place, how do we test this? How do we test these numbers? So ultimately we can get to the opinion on the financial statement. So that is our goal. When we get the financial statements, the only product in there is our opinion. Everything else is county information that is generated from the finance department. When we come here, we have to talk about significant accounting policies. If finance is treasury is changing policies, they say, okay, we're running out of fund balance. So we're going to start recognizing revenues instead of at 60 days. We're going to recognize all the revenues that come in 90 days. We should be finding that. We have to tell this group because you're not going to be aware of that if they're doing that under closed doors. That's one of our responsibilities. There really isn't any changes to that in the policies. There's one accounting standard that takes place this year, and it basically takes three of your entities and moves them in the financial statement. It's not any new financial activity. It's from a numeric point, it's GASB 80. It moves the Economic Development Alliance, the Capital Resource Corp, and then the Golden Hill CDC into a blended component unit. That has been accomplished by the county. Significant accounting estimates, we have a responsibility there. What kind of estimates could you possibly have? Well, you got this thing, this liability called other post-employment benefits. You have a liability for net pension. You have liabilities in there for compensated absences, workers' compensation. So those are all estimates. So we have to come up and test those. We do it by looking at trends. We look at the history of those numbers. We look at census data. You know, the information that's going in to build those actuary reports. Then we look at the actuary reports. We look at the assumptions used. We compare them to industry standards. And we also look at the integrity of the third party in order to rely on the third party specialist for those estimates. And again, we found information within there to be fairly state the county's financial statements. Other matters and independence. When we talk about independence, it's not just in fact; it's also in appearance. You know, this actually came up in Dutchess because they're doing their property auction today or tomorrow, and a couple of people were saying they can't be involved in it, and we said, well, theoretically, by law, you probably could, because it's a public auction, mm-hmm. So it's in public and anybody has the right. But again, if you sit there and you think about a county employee buying property within the county through this. From an appearance sake, there's probably an independence issue. So in their policy, they have that employees can't do it. If we had anything like an appearance, if we were giving political contributions or something of that nature, we'd have to disclose it to this body. We don't have any of those independence issues. There are no other matters to speak of at this point. We'll get into, the financial statement update.
And just before, Tom, if I could interject, the other matters, a significant amount of the time we put in on site is testing the county's compliance and handling of federal awards, and that's through the single audit. It makes up, I'd say, 20-30% of the hours that we perform on site. And this year, the programs that were selected were HEAP, Home Energy Assistance Program, Medicaid, the workforce investment via WIOA cluster, and then the program aging programs cluster as well. As a result of that miniature audit, specifically on federal compliance, there are no reportable findings, no significant deficiencies, no material weaknesses. So I want to point that out before we get into the general fund, which is, of course, the main focus of this group. But the way you handle federal awards is also significant. I just wanted to report on that it came out clean, if you will.
Can I just ask how those are chosen?
Sure. The county puts together a schedule of expenditures of federal awards, and it's all inclusive. By program, the dollars spent during the fiscal year. That's provided to us under uniform guidance, which is the federal guidance that we're just an extension of the federal government really on site to take care of this. It breaks programs up into type A or type B based on a dollar threshold. So what's significant to the county? At the county, it was at about $1.4 million was that line to be a type A or type B. Your type A programs need to be tested once every 3 years. So they're on a rotation basis. And this uniform guidance came out 2 years ago, and something that resulted from it is that those smaller programs, we're forced to consider those in our testing as well. When before we used to be able to say they're not significant dollars, you can pass on them. There's some other things that we have to assess risk to those type B programs, and sometimes those come out as a high risk. And they're selected for testing.
Yeah. See, so the old days, we could bypass that because all we had to do was capture 50% of the dollars so we could take all the big programs. So nobody was ever taking the little programs. So the federal government came in and changed it up so all programs have a chance of being selected, within the county.
Is there a way to get a summary of the programs over the last series of years? Because you talked about having to do the rotation, that they all have to be analyzed
every
3 years.
It's,
there's a schedule included. In, the county receives a federal report, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's separate from the CAFR financial statement. But in there is a schedule that lists what the major programs were
right.
that year.
So we'll get
you just
that,
have
to Amber,
look at that for the last however many years.
Amber,
we'll
give you that for the last 3 years, and
okay.
you can pass it on.
Sure, that would be great. And the other thing I'd be curious about is with the smaller programs, which of the smaller programs that are higher risk don't have not been analyzed ever, based on the fact that we weren't required to do it up until,
mm-hmm.
we weren't even required to consider it up until recently.
Right.
I'd be curious, you know, if as you looked at it, there were 15 that came up, or 5 that came up high risk, if any of those 5 have never been looked at.
Well, there is, it gets a little more detailed when you, we have to consider the type P programs.
Mm-hmm.
Once you assess 1/4 of low risk type A programs, you can stop. So they say you need to test 1 high risk type B program for every 4 low risk A's that you have. So those high dollar amounts, if it's an off year on a rotation,
mm-hmm.
they say how many of those A's are you not testing this year?
Mm-hmm.
That's considered a low risk program.
Yep.
You need to assess a high risk B program for every 4 A's that you
okay.
pass on test. So it's not
it's not
black
so
and white.
Right.
But, you know, we'll provide something to Amber and get it to
Great.
You. And if you have follow up
mm-hmm.
questions,
thank
feel
you.
Free. Yeah. That was it. Thanks, Tom.
Financial statement update. So we're going to talk about two parts here. The first few slides that I'm going to go through are actually numbers pulled off of your audited financial statements. And then after this, we're going to use some comparatives. And this is something we do from county to county. The numbers that are in slides 4 onward will be taken off of your annual update document, which is the document sent to the state earlier in the year. And we use those comparatives to other counties. And you know, when we get into those comparatives, I'll speak a little bit more. But here you go. You got your revenues and expenditures and your trends in here. And you can see again, you know, next year that 2013 will pop off of here. But that was basically the sale of the
mm-hmm.
nursing home. So we had a pretty big gain there. And, you know, in this past year, our expenditures exceeded our revenues by about $3 million. That represents, you know, just a little bit over 1% of your total spending pattern. Your ultimate goal is to have, you know, revenues equal the expenditures. We'll go to this slide, and it's when I talk about the ultimate goal, we're trying to get to, if your revenues were your numerator and your expenditures were your denominator, you'd like that to be equal. So we're not overtaxing, we can't be accused of overtaxing, and we're also not getting ourselves into a deficit position. So ultimately, we'd like to be at 1. If you look at this graph without, you know, thinking about 2013, you're like spot on 1. I mean, we're at 1.002 for the 5-year trend. So that's spot on. But I do caution that 13 tends to be not the norm, and that would bring us down to about 98.75. Not
mm-hmm.
about. It would get us to the 4-year trend, 98.75. So it doesn't sound like we're that so bad, but now you got to start looking at, that's 1.25% off.
Yep.
$275 million. That's about a $3 million hit each year.
I mean, in a way, Golden Hill sort of balanced out the years going forward at a certain point. And just strictly from a budgetary, from a transfer and transfer out perspective,
right.
it balanced out everything else because
right.
of how high that delta, I mean, how much money we took in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's a concern you have to have as you go forward into your budget processes.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed in the year of the sale there was significant expenditure as well. Was that catching up for previous deficits? Or?
I think part of it was, I think, a combination of different things, including that, and some of our legacy costs were still sort
Correct.
Of there. On top of that, I think it's also a thing where I think we also paid off certain debts early with some of that money. So I think
yeah.
it's a combination of all the above.
Also proactively paying off
some of it. I'm just saying it was like it's the whole menu. It's the whole dollar menu,
yeah.
if you will.
Right.
So
I'm sure there's a 2013 financial statement available here in the county, and it will be pretty detailed in there, because yeah. we spent a lot of time on that back when that was all.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but that's...
That might have been our first year here.
It's
Thank
all,
you very
it's,
much.
It was.
Thank you very much for serving us that.
trial by fire.
And there you go. There's so, the tail of the tape.
So here's your fund balance trend. You can see right mm-hmm. there where we're sticking in there. We're about 62, 63 million right here. And now we're down to about 55 million. Yeah. Now, we're not saying that's a weak position, but we are saying it's trending in the downward direction. There's a couple other variables. You can never look at this in just one year. When we get into the expenditures and revenues for 16 and 17, you'll see, like, you know, we're going to have a $10 million less in state aid this year, but that we'll explain that. And it kind of, it's not like you lost state aid. It was just delivered in a different year.
But also too, I mean, we've been having to hold on taxes too. Look at that tax mm-hmm. rate over the 5-year period of time. Our tax increase has been very minimal.
That's correct, and you'll see that on a slide as we push forward. The one good thing you have going for you is that not one good thing. There's a lot of good things here. That's why it's kind of a boring presentation.
Yes and no. Because so what I'm saying is, when you begin to look at overall, I'm not saying as a negative, but basically that sale of Golden Hill netted you so much, both in terms of eliminating legacy costs, a significant cash infusion, and so yes, it helped to kind of ride out some of those pieces in through there. But that it's
right.
I mean, it at a certain point it runs out.
Yeah.
So
and you know, and I'm just going to speak on it. I'm not going to show a slide on it, but the road and the road machinery fund. That fund balance position is just a little over 30%. So that's a pretty strong position for a particular fund. I also think it's relevant because if you ever get a weather related incident, you'll need to draw on those funds. All right, here's now this information's coming off the annual update document. There's a little caption down there that you can't see on the slide, but and all we're saying is it's not audited. It's pretty close, and I checked some of the numbers back and forth, so it still gives you some good trending on where this comes where you're going, and you can see that real property taxes down to 51.4. So not only you for the last 3 years you've been right around, and you're down a little bit even. So it's been going down. The other items that we talked about, the state aid here, it dropped $10 million. That's related to two items that we then looked at a little further. First of all, our family assistance program was down in activity level. So you'll see an offset in the next slide, which is for the economic assistance and opportunity. That expenditure went down $2 million, but we also lost $2 million in state aid. And the rest of that, the other $8 million is made up of, is that in 2017, we had one settlement from Child Welfare Services. In the year before, we had a settlement, and those settlements, you recognize them in the year they're received, but they relate to prior periods. And in 2016, you were the benefit of three CWF settlements that contributed about $8 million difference between the 2 years. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to look at things, over time as opposed to just individually, because you'll see we're always around 30, 35, 36, and then we jump to this 49. What happened? Something happened. What happened is we were underpaid here by the state. They came back and they settled up in 2016. So we get to the expenditures, and the very first thing I'll point out is that there you are, the difference in the economic assistance and opportunity. How come this thing isn't staying low? There it is. So we're moving from 121 to 119. So it went down. That's our social service program. And you can see over time, we've actually done a pretty good job of controlling that. And there's been some state changes, too, is the way it's being handled. But, we were at 126, we're down to 119. Our spending pattern, if you look from, again, I try to kick 13 out and just look at 14, but we've gone down, a little bit from 14 even. So kind of justifies where our real property tax has gone.
General government support?
That would be just about everything that's not in a specific. Home and I'll go through some, like economic assistance, that's your social services. Home and community services, that would be like your sewer, your water, the infrastructure type services. You'll have culture and recreation, obvious. And then you get into areas, you know, debt service, pretty obvious. Transportation's your highway. And then you get to education. Then public safety is your sheriffs. Mm-hmm. General government support, that's everything else. That's just about everything in this building.
Yeah.
You know, you got your clerks, clerk, your ledge, you know assessors, audit fees, you know, just about everything in the building. All right. Now, I only show this slide to show you that we really are pretty close to where we've been from the audit. You remember the audit, these numbers? They're about this. These are just a little bit off, but it kind of gives some credibility to the AUD that, oh yeah, we did the same graph here, and we come up with basically the same thing. You know, we were at 9.8, we're at 9.88 here, we're at 1.02 on 16. So that's all I'm trying to prove is the credibility. On here now, we're going to move to other counties. Where are they? And we pick these counties kind of because they're all your neighbors, and you actually have five neighboring counties, but we can only fit five on a graph, so five plus Ulster would get us to six, so we had to kick one off. And I think we kicked off, was it Columbia?
Delaware. And it's not really comparable anyway. So.
And I think they're pretty small. So in here you can see you're kind of middle of the ballpark. You know, you're not, you know, and these vary too where you're going. Some counties you look at, like Orange, you know, they had a couple downs and then they went, you know, back up. You know, same thing, you know, Dutchess, you know, they were doing, you know, a little bit above one. Then the last year they took a hit. You know, same thing in Sullivan. So, you know, it's kind of something you got to look at for the trends.
Well, everyone decreased from 16 to 17, less green. I don't know what they're doing right.
I was going to say, you can't necessarily say whether that's right or wrong. It's just more about the ebbs and flows. But one of the curiosities, though, just seems to be, from a ratio standpoint, it's just more interesting as to what happened in Sullivan and what happened in Orange. That's probably where I'm more curious about year to year.
County like Green could just be more snow or less snow in the winter.
I mean, it could be a myriad of just different happens. Things, but.
But and a lot of that could be they may have, you know, raised or not raised their taxes enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always maybe your, you know, it might have been your decision that you made in November as opposed to the activity in the following year.
And now they're paying boarding fees to our jail because they had to close their jail, so their numbers next year are going to be out of whack.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so here, you know, this really shows you, this is our real property tax as a percentage of our revenue stream right now. Here's where it was 5 years ago as a percentage. And again, we're just, you know, all that shows you is that you're relying less on your real property tax than you were 5 years ago. Some of these other counties, you know, you talk about Green. Green's making money. Well, they're relying more on their property tax. So again, yeah, one of the things that you're going to find out is that when you see something and you got an outlier, you know, maybe you're the outlier. You can't just make a conclusion. You got to go back and look at further analysis. That these are really just to give you, you know, some perspective. They're not, there's no conclusions that can be drawn with these numbers today. But we still like showing them because they're kind of interesting. So now we go to the sales tax, and we can see here, and I can't read that, but I think my recollection was pretty close to. Oh no, we're drawing a lot more sales tax now, and you guys really are only at 8% sales tax, 4+4, right?
No, we're at I think what were you saying, 8.75? What I think?
8.25.
Because I looked up and I just googled it. It was 8%. So it's 4 plus the 4 from the state, so it's 8.
That's 8, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So that's pretty low, actually, compared to some of the other counties that are out there in the state. There's a lot at 8.75. So, I mean, I don't, you know, I guess it's just your economy, then, has been robust. All right. And this is a number that, and you know, this is not a bad place to be. I mean, you're at, you know, 11.3% of your total spending pattern. You're at 11.2. It's basically, you know, how much risk is the ledge willing to accept? You look at a place like government finance officers, they're saying 16.67%. But then there's other literature in some of their other literature that says, well, we want 16.67%, but the bigger entity you are, maybe you drop a little bit, and the smaller entity, maybe you add percentage points to that. So, you know, they think the important thing here, again, is stability, which I think you've accomplished over the last 5 years. Now the challenge is maintaining it. This is just another comparative to kind of, you know, give you an idea. What you look at your peers and you see green there, and they're up at 28.7%. And, you know, unless they have some specific needs for that, they're going to probably get a visit from the state comptroller saying that you're overtaxing the people. That's kind of what we see in a lot of municipalities that kind of accumulate too much fund balance. So, I mean, again, you're not in a bad place when you start looking at your peers. You're all about, you know, you're all bunched up pretty close. And you guys have been, you know, probably the most consistent of the bunch for the last few years. So it's a good place to be. And again, the challenge is now staying there. You know, that's, you know, pretty much it. I mean, I said it was going to be boring, and that's because, you know, there really isn't, you know, anything. And again, it's a snapshot in 17. We don't know what's happening in 18, but as a 17, everything looks pretty good. You know, we did come back. We've been working with Amber, and you know, we've gone through different items. She's come to us with some challenges. We haven't always been able to address everything. We're hoping to keep a to-do list so that they get addressed next year. There will be a formal management letter, but we haven't finalized that with the departments because we want to make sure that, well, we wrote the items, we developed the items, we observed, made our observations, we developed the comments. And now we're sharing them with the departments to make sure that we're not missing something. I mean, you know, that's an embarrassing thing if we put it out there and it was missing. But some of the things that we're looking at right now are a lot of things with the policies. You know, the revenue recognition. There should be a formal written policy. Disaster recovery. And that leads me to one of our bigger comments, and that's that we believe there should be some sort of succession plan put in place. And we noticed it in IT, especially this year, when there was kind of rather abrupt departure of the IT guy. And then there really wasn't any kind of written manuals. And it was kind of like you lose a lot of time and effort, and, you know, things just kind of fall. And you can't even, I don't even know what the lost costs are in there. But to develop some plans and to have some succession, I'm not saying everywhere, but key items like, you know, in I would say if you lost the CJ, you know, somebody in that position, or, you know, in Amber, you know, some of these key positions, the IT for sure, we need to have a succession plan. You know, there's things like we didn't know, nobody knew if there's a disaster recovery plan. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody writes about that now. You know, the cybersecurity policy, what is it? You know, nobody, those things all have to be formalized, and we're going to, you know, include some of that. The there's other policies out there that are coming on the horizon that I think, you know, you're addressing. We'll put them in there just as a okay, here, you know, we got sexual harassment coming up October 9th. You know, what are we doing to address that? And are we aware that there's an opportunity cost there for every one of our employees has to spend 1 hour every year that we're paying for that we're, you know, for their hour to attend this course? For every new hire, they have to come in before they can start work, whether they're in parks, recreation, whether in this building, part-time, 10 hours, 2 hours, they have to have that course. You know, are we accounting for that? How are we going to account for it in our, you know, in our vendors? You know, because the vendors, we have to have a sexual harassment policy. How are you going to make sure that we have it as well as all your other vendors? We did talk about a few other things that, you know, that might make the letter, might not, but, you know, there are things like Carl brought up the schedule of federal assistance. It's a $55 million schedule. There's a couple on there, and I know, Herb, we talked about this in August, that there's a couple programs on there that have been consistently characterized, coded incorrectly, and I think we provided the name. If not, we will provide you the name so that you guys can follow up with those individuals. You know, the bank rec's still an issue. All we're doing is pointing it out, because if we talk to finance or the controllers, we just, you know, like I always say, we get one of these. You know, it's always, you know, and all we're saying is that, you know, there are bank recs getting done, but it's not necessarily in compliance with what the original policy was.
Well, hold on there. I mean, there's still a problem with that bank rec?
Yeah.
I thought that was all resolved. We had all these meetings about it, and everybody was happy, so go lucky, and you're telling us that it's not resolved.
I would say it's not resolved.
What's the problem then? Like, well, it was before? Same as before? Or something
different? Yeah, there's certain items that aren't getting done and not getting, you know, and when you're utilizing the New World system, and CJ, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more familiar with the situation. But it ends up being at the, I think your policies say the controller should be doing the controller's office should be doing the bank recs.
That's correct.
And what we got, the bank recs were being done by the finance office this past year.
We did not provide any bank recs to you guys.
No, you do them on your own as an insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is the controller's office doing bank recs?
I gave them to Erica.
Yeah.
The ones that we do.
Right, but there was still a breakdown in the system on the New World system. And I can't speak specifically on it, but I mean, that's one of the items that we've passed out. It said we've passed these all out to the departments to get their read on it. But there still was an issue outstanding on it.
You educate us on what the issues are, you know, because we'll try to rectify them.
We can,
I mean,
probably,
as far as I know, they were addressed and they were all taken care of.
I could probably call an individual right now and put her on the speakerphone. I personally did not do the testing.
Not you personally, but can you let us be aware of what it is?
Yes, we will. Yeah. But what I'm getting to is that it's going to be formalized in a letter once the two departments look at it to make sure we're not missing any specifics.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at right now in the process. I'm not aware of all the, you know, every detail in the audit. I mean, it's pretty big audit.
Well, from where I sit, I knew there was a problem. I thought we had major discussions back and forth.
We have.
The two departments.
We have.
Everything's rectified, and so it should not be an issue far as I'm concerned.
We'll get back to you on that.
All right.
And the final couple policies is we just talked about is the specifically IT needs policy, and then we need a debt. There's no debt management type policy that's written. So those are the items that were out there. And I will make a quick phone call before I leave here to see if I can give you more information, because I'm a little embarrassed.
Well, I'm
going to
eat before I go to sleep tonight.
Whenever
you get it, then it's fine.
Oh,
we'll
sleep
over it.
No, believe me, I won't. I got enough on my mind.
Can I
Hector.
Ask a question?
Oh, you have your... I thought you were just pointing at the
seat. No.
Hector.
Sorry, he's the chair of the meeting, so... So, one of the things actually just in that vein of, you know, with regards to debt plan, I mean, what actually is our overall indebtedness at this moment? I mean, it's fairly low, I know. I mean, we're nowhere near our ceiling, but our constitutional debt limit. But I'm just curious as to what our overall obligations are right now.
I would have to.
Draft right here.
Yeah. I say it's 15%.
I have it in a briefcase right
now. No, but I'm actually looking for the actual dollar amount.
11.3.
The amount of money put out of this pocket.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What it is.
Is that one person that memorized this number? Go ahead.
We're about a little under 120 million bonds right now.
Okay. Okay. Can you look at one more thing?
Sure.
Can you look at your capital assets, not the net, the gross
cost?
I believe it's about 185.
So that's before depreciation. Does that include governmental and business activities?
186. Net of depreciation.
No, I don't want it net of depreciation.
I don't have that figure.
Oh, okay. I thought you had the gross.
Do you have the notes?
what I'm getting at is this. So if you're at you're at a couple hundred thousand dollars, a couple hundred million dollars like of assets after depreciation, it's more than likely that that's probably about 350,000, you know, 350, 400 million dollars of capital assets.
I know. You keep on doing that and it's, you know, my confidence is going down, Tom. I'm getting nervous.
Well, I mean, it's you're in government. It's not Ulster. It's
No. Okay, so it's 350. Every time you say 1,000, that's why I'm making a joke.
Oh.
I'm still hooked up.
Well, because sometimes we eliminate the zeros in the financial statements. So it's 350 million.
Yeah.
So even if you sit there and you say, you know, if you look at that $350 million,
yeah, no, probably I got it. I mean,
take the average life of where you should be. That's probably, you know, for easy math, you would take 35 years, mm-hmm, for easy math.
Yeah.
And you'd need $10 million a year to reinvest.
Sure.
All right. So, and that's what we're saying on a debt management plan, mm-hmm, has, you know, and that's just a number. I mean, that, but it, you know, kind of makes sense. We got $350 million. They're not going to last more than 35 years on average. They're probably closer, mm-hmm, to 25 years on average. You got buildings that are going to last 40, 45, but you got a lot of vehicles and highway equipment that are only going to last, you know, 10 years. So you get to that number, and then how much should we be reinvesting every year? And that's kind of where you got to start your plan. You know, you're talking infrastructure and your water, your sewer, and you know, so there is a lot of scary stuff out there. Millions.
Any other questions?
Not right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so what do we owe people? We owe the 3 years of information.
Major programs.
And then we owe the bank rec situation, mm-hmm, in draft form.
And then a few CIFA programs that are misidentified.
Oh, I think we have that.
Okay. What kind of ways and means that?
I think that was Jason.
Okay.
Right, and I'm going to thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, are there any other potential audit areas or items?
How you doing? Good. Oh. Richard Grove.
Yes. Yeah,
Tom.
Thanks.
You had your hand up first. Go ahead.
Okay, well, no, just I'm going to let Tracy go, but just we should probably note that at this point I think we've expended probably about half, I think like 50,000 give or take, combined with the one audit that we did approve, and then I think the investigation actually came out of the audit fund. So just be aware of just I think where we're at financially. I think we're only at about $50,000 remaining in that particular line item. So what was it?
Tracy.
Well, I first had a question about the sheriff's AUP, where that's at, and we haven't gotten an update on
that. I believe, isn't that report due October 16th or something like that?
We were looking to schedule the next audit committee meeting October 16th and to get a formal presentation from the firm on that day.
Are we going to have something in advance of that? Or
yes.
Are they talking about coming on October 16th and we see it blind? I would like it in advance.
Okay.
I really want to
I
be able to.
I can communicate that, absolutely.
Because it'll just prepare me for questions that I might have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'd
nope.
like to be prepared for the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
there's an old one
can
on
I,
there.
Herb, can I go back to your previous question since I asked a different one, just in terms of other areas of audit?
Sure.
There's a couple things that we had talked about that we never resolved, and one was family, Woodstock. We talked about looking at several different individual programs, but over the course of time, I've also talked about how we analyze and how we look into families' funding and programming so that we can understand it as an umbrella. Since we fund so many different things and there's so many different arms of money, I just want to understand.
But each one of those has a contract tied to it, correct?
Does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. But I do want, I'm curious about looking at the entity as a whole. And I'm not sure how to articulate that fully, but maybe that's something we can talk to Ken about as well, since he works more closely with it and not this minute. I'm just saying I'm interested in having a look at that. And then the other thing, which again I can have Amber circulate, I'm sure we have it somewhere digitally, is the concept of doing a jail it's not strictly an audit, but it's something that I think would be totally appropriate coming out of this committee, and that's looking at the jail, a jail study similar to ones that have been done in other counties that analyzes population and daily populations as it relates to those that are waiting trial or those who can't make bail, et cetera, so that we can start to have an understanding of what exactly the population is made up of. Now, I know that those numbers exist in mm-hmm. any given moment of time, and we've gotten them from the sheriff at any given moment of time, but I think if anybody looks at that study, the one that was circulated, I think it was CGR that did it for another mm-hmm. county, it really provides a different insight to how money is being spent, and maybe how that would inform not so much what's happening at the jail,
but you'd have to look at trends. You wouldn't just look at a snapshot in time.
You do, and again, if you look at the report, it really does. It has the potential of informing sentencing, informing changes at legislative, you know, at different levels other than at the jail, where they're charged with just following through on the law. It's like someone is committed and they can't make bail, and that mm-hmm. the sheriff doesn't have a say over that. The sheriff
is the judge. So, but we can ADA, make a, I can tell you there's a lot that goes into the considerations. And
we can make a much more compelling argument with
but
information.
But isn't that evolving that now with the new
there's legislation.
Restorative justice?
Yes, but that's the restorative
justice. Which is going to change all of that?
But that's
only for a certain
with
population.
A certain subset.
That's a very
exactly.
small population. You know, I know that when I asked for those numbers, after seeing CGR study for the other county, and I asked for the numbers from the Sheriff's Department and saw them, it made me even more passionate about potentially getting a study like this for our county. I mean, information is power, and one moment in time is only a certain picture. One day is one day's picture, but when you look at that as a trend, you start to have a different understanding but of what a change in...
Would you want to come up with a preliminary list of what you would like to see in that?
What I could circulate, or what I could ask Amber to circulate again, is that CGR study. I think anyone who actually looks at it would be very impressed.
And you think that's appropriate for Ulster County, even though it was
do.
What other county? What county was it done
for? I don't
for?
Recall.
Chemung
County.
It's really a compelling piece of work. I mean, it's... And it delves deep into it. And again, I think it's something that the sheriff's department would welcome as well, because it's as you say, as a former ADA, it's very compelling information.
Well, how was Chemung County able to use their CGR study identifying trends? Were there changes in the impositions of bail on the part of the judges?
I haven't followed up with Chemung County, and I will. But I do know that the study recommended changes in policies. Not so much internally within the jail, because you're just following through on what you're required to do by law.
Right, we're following orders of judges.
Exactly.
And I think they actually hired them to do a follow-up analysis upon implementation of some of the changes.
Yeah, it's real. So, it's a great report. Can you circulate and can you make sure that
sure.
everybody gets the sheriff's department gets it as well to look at? Yeah.
No, I'm interested in helping the sheriff with this, absolutely.
That would be great. So maybe after everyone revisits it, we can talk about that at the next meeting, October 16th.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Just one other comment?
Yes.
Actually, refer.
No, I was going to move to adjourn, but go ahead.
Oh. I just want to compliment CJ and his staff for the great audit. I mean, basically, there was no findings, any significant findings to speak of, so evidently, you must have been doing your good work all the way around, so congratulations.
And actually, that's probably, I was remiss in not complimenting not just CJ, but the entire county, because we do cover the entire county, and there's no professional requirement to issue a management letter. And that's where we talked about a little earlier, that we want to put ideas in there that can be helpful, and that's why these items that we have generated now, they're being distributed to the departments so that, mm-hmm. you know, are they helpful pieces of information? There were no material weaknesses. There were no significant deficiencies. That would require us to write, you know, a findings letter. We don't have to. We'd like to just throw those items in there. And I did follow up on the cash, so I can talk to you about it. Right
you want
now.
To talk it in general?
I can bring it up.
Sure. All right, yeah. All right.
The issue at hand really is underutilization of the New World system for the bank reconciliation process. And the reason it falls off is because, and again, Both Randy and CJ will be getting written documents on this so you can edit it. But the preliminary writing has to do with when you're doing the bank recs off the New World system, journal entries get inputted into there. And right now there's some discussion as to who should be putting those journal entries in. And that's where, you know, Erica's putting it into a, and she said that she did talk to both of you a little bit about it, on the authorization of the, when the journal entries run through and some of the, on some of the deposits. So you'll be getting that piece of paper and you can look at it. So it's a matter of, it's the bank reconciliations, and I asked her, she clearly said she got them from the controller's office. They're all done on a timely basis. However, it's an underutilization of the New World system.
So you're basically just the journal entries that you're concerned about?
It was entries that get in there that they are put into the bank reconciliations.
Yeah. Are you meaning entries like bank interest and bank errors?
I would suspect that's exactly okay. what she's suggesting. And again, I mean, I just did it through a telephone conversation. I knew there was an item on it. I wasn't specific as to what. So that's why I said a lot of times we put these items together, we talk about them, but they don't make the final letter because by the time we get all done with it, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought it to the attention. We'll follow up on it. If it's still an issue, it's going to make the final letter. If it's not an issue, then it will fall out.
Okay, Hector.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So before I move to adjourn, but one thing is also I want to thank you, Tom, simply because, you know, I mean, we've known for a while to be keeping an eye on both fund balance and also our long-term obligations, and it's sort of a thing where, you know, for a long time we've thankfully sort of had that cushion from the sale of Golden Hill for a myriad of different reasons and as mm-hmm. to how that sort of cut down on long-term obligations as well as, of course, the cash infusion. But it's a thing to be keep an eye on going forward. So sure. I appreciate you providing that perspective.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I move to adjourn, Mr. Chair.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.